fighting for America.
This is illegal. It's got to stop.
Why are you guys so ready today?
Mexico is very culpable in this.
They need to take all these children and put them right down the Mexico border.
It's not about race. It's about resources.
Fighting for Idaho.
The Bureau of Land Management agreed with a Nevada sheriff that rancher Clive and Bundy must be held accountable for his role in an April standoff.
And it's getting ridiculous.
Fighting for you.
I just took exception to your statement about soccer being a socialistic sport. Have you heard of the Olympics?
She's absolutely right.
That's enough out of you. Please cut his mic.
Boise's Mr. Right. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm at KIDO. Good morning. Phone numbers 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. On Facebook, on Twitter, as we start the day. Joining us now, our friend Steve Camerota from the Center for Immigration Studies. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, Steve, I've talked to you for, the majority of my years on the radio, coming up to 20. Have you ever thought in your vast experience that you'd ever see what's happening on the borders here in our country?
I think that in some ways it's predictable. Many people said, look, even just talking about having an amnesty for illegal immigrants would encourage a lot more illegal immigration. Certainly our previous amnesty back in 86 caused a big surge in illegal immigration, and there's every reason to think that if we actually had one, that would happen. But even just today, with modern communication and so forth, just the talk of it, including the professor's, including the president's administrative amnesties that he's already implemented, clearly are helping to drive a lot of people to the U.S. border.
Well, you've studied this, both legal and illegal immigration. Give us your thoughts on the future of the country and, what's actually happening to us.
Well, I think that obviously legal immigration is very high to the United States. Over 1 million new people are allowed in to settle in the country permanently each year. 500,000-600,000 new guest workers of various kinds are allowed into the country as well. And one of the things that's actually happening in the United States is that as more and more immigrant workers are brought in, the fraction of Americans who are of working age, that is, say, 16 to 65, who actually work, has been declining now pretty steadily, and we've also had very flat or declining wages as well. Now, obviously, employers tend to like this situation with no wage growth and a lot of workers to choose from, but I do think we've seen a lot of negative consequences with this kind of rise of non-work and the erosion of a middle class.
Well, and I think Senator Sessions has the best argument, never mind the cultural issues, never mind everything else, about immigration reform when he says, look, we've got Americans in this country that we can't give jobs to that are unemployed. We're going to bring in a bunch of low-wage folks, make them legal, and all of a sudden the employment situation is going to be even more dire.
Right. What we can say is that the last, say, 14 years, 2000 to 2014, there are at least 17, more like 18 million new immigrants, legally and illegally, came and settled in the United States. And during that time period, I know it sounds amazing, there has been no net employment growth among the native-born. In other words, the number of native-born people holding a job in 2000 is slightly more than the number in 2014. But, of course, the native-born population of working age grew a lot. So we now have about 17 million more people in the United States who are native-born of working age not working compared to 2000. We just had this explosion of working-age people not working.
So how does this play into the strategy of the administration? And first of all, Steve Camerota, is there a big difference between the Obama policy on immigration and the Bush policy?
Well, at least partly because they were trying to demonstrate that they had taken enforcement seriously, because obviously President Bush very much wanted an amnesty for illegal immigrants as well. They did in some ways engage in some more robust enforcement, and they never took all their latitude and simply said, we're not going to enforce the law on whole categories of people. Remember, the Obama administration, this is part of the reason so many unaccompanied minors are coming to the border, is that they have said anybody who arrives under the age of 16, we are not going to be enforcing the law on them. That is, we will give them work authorization, we will instruct the Immigration Service not to deport them, and that it's called DACA, Deferred Action for people who arrive as minors. But so that policy of saying we're not going to enforce the law on millions of people is not something the Bush administration did. However, it is true that the Obama administration, like the Bush administration, pretty much for much of the time ceased going after employers who hired illegal immigrants.
Stephen Camerato with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO, Center for Immigration Studies. Tell us about your group and whether or not you've taken any flack for telling the truth about what's happening to us as far as immigration.
Well, I think that my group is the Center for Immigration Studies. All of our publications are for free at CIS, like Center for Immigration Studies abbreviated, CIS.org. Certainly, the way immigration plays out is that immigration creates both benefits and costs for the United States. And if you point out the benefits, then you're hailed, and the media is very pleased with you. But if you point out some of the costs, well, that's just not something that much of the media is interested in. And so you do get called names sometimes if you point out any of those costs, job competition, use of welfare, national security issues associated with crime. There is some of that. That's true. But it's still important to do it because I think the public senses that there are costs and benefits, and I think there's some frustration that some of the negative impacts are seldom, if ever, discussed.
Well, let's talk about some of the factors that are pushing this. Obviously, the Chamber of Commerce, other folks, do they not see the consequences of people coming in on the education system, on the medical system, on the financial system?
I think they do, but remember, those costs are diffuse. If I'm an employer and I want a worker and I can get one for the $9 an hour that I want, and you as the taxpayer have to pay for the students and the health care in the form of Medicaid or the free school lunch and the WIC and all the other programs, well, those costs are borne by everyone. But I get the narrowly focused benefit of the particular worker I want. And in politics, and this is why we get so much immigration, the narrowly focused benefit typically trumps the cost if it's diffuse. And even if the cost that's diffused is bigger than the narrowly focused benefit, the narrowly focused benefit still comes out on top politically.
Well, and again, we see both parties trying to embrace the legalization of the illegals. Why do the Republican Party, where is the social conservatives in this? Where are the people that are saying, hey, we don't need new laws to enforce our borders. We need to enforce the existing ones right now.
Well, what pushback there does come from the leadership of both parties wanting to legalize illegal immigrants. And remember, the bill that passed the Senate last year actually doubled legal immigration from 1 million to 2 million a year. And the pushback, such as it is, that comes from it mostly does come from conservatives, but it's mostly conservative rank and file. The leadership of conservative movement is more divided. Now, it's true that people like Ann Coulter or Rush Limbaugh or Mark Levin and others have pushed back a lot on this stuff. So that it wouldn't be fair to say that the Republican Party or conservatives haven't pushed back, but the leadership of the party is very captive to the perspective and interests of business, particularly like the Chamber of Commerce and the Business Roundtable and the Home Builders and Hotel and Restaurant Association. And so they tend to respond to that partly because those groups tend to give a lot of money.
Well, and that's the idea. I mean, we're talking about folks on the radio and on television, but where besides, I guess, Steve King of Iowa, is there anybody else saying, hey, no amnesty now, no amnesty forever?
Well, I think like Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama, right. I mean, he is up for reelection this year, and no one's disputing that what he's saying on immigration is that, look, we need a more go-slow approach, that that we have not created enough jobs in the last 14 years to absorb the number of immigrants we've allowed in. There's no reason to think we will in the next 10 years. So why keep immigration maybe at this level? Why have an amnesty? Why encourage more illegal immigration? So there are a few sort of voices in the wilderness, but you're certainly right that if you'd like to see robust
All right, we'll get back to Stephen Camerata in a minute. Hopefully that wasn't the...
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Stephen Camerata with us from the Center for Immigration Studies. Talking more about the crisis on the border. Is there any sanity out of this? The president saying, well, I'm going to spend $2 billion. What would that $2 billion do?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only way you're going to have to stop it is if you make clear that you're going to detain people and send them back as quick as possible. Now, we happen to have some very foolish laws that are not the president's fault with regard to how to deal with minors. Nonetheless, he's exacerbating the problem. Let me just basically, the way it works is that if you show up at the U.S. border unaccompanied and you claim to be under the age of 18, you get all these protections. They'll give you a lawyer. They promise not to put you in detention, or at least for a very short period of time. They try to parole you to a relative or someone in the United States. And all of this is encouraging people to come, because if your parents are here illegally, you show up at the border as a minor, then they'll give it to your parents, even if your parents are in the United States illegally. All of that has got to cease. You cannot turn the children over to a parent or someone who is here illegally. We've got to make that clear. If you want to get your kid, then you have to leave the country with your kid. But a very large fraction of these people are coming as family units, a mom and several kids, or a mom and dad and several kids. Them you can detain and deport the whole family, or use another procedure. It's expedited removal or various things like that. So you could do that. And anybody, any family unit, you could send back immediately. If you're not going to be sending people back immediately, everybody realizes that they're very likely to stay permanently, that we're not going to be enforcing the law on them. And if that continues, people are going to keep coming. It's sort of like anything else. If you tell people that you're not going to be enforcing the law, you're just going to get a lot more law breaking.
Well, I mean, here at 580KIDO, is this coincidence that we're getting flooded wave after wave, that people have the talking points? They seem to know the law better than the folks actually patrolling the border?
No, I don't think it is. I mean, whenever you have, you know, immigrant social networks can tend to be very efficient. That's why a large number of immigrants come to the United States and find jobs very quickly. That's why welfare use, on the other hand, is very high in immigrant communities, because the networks kind of disseminate the information very effectively. And in this case, the weaknesses in the immigration system have become well known, and that's why people show up and are able to game the system in this way. So I think that, it may seem strange. Gosh, how would welfare system so effectively? But
we're losing your phone there again.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now, yeah, but you're going to have to start all over again.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it may be surprising sometimes, but the fact of the matter is that that immigrant social networks tend to be very efficient when it comes to information. It's why immigrants have a lot of success finding jobs in the United States. It's why welfare use tends to be high in immigrant communities as well. I know you wouldn't think those two things go together, but they do. It's because information disseminates pretty well in immigrant communities, and that's why people have come, even in other countries, to know our immigration laws so well and how to beat them.
Well, how scary is the border?
Well, I think right now the border is a chaotic place. It's a place where the Border Patrol is overwhelmed, partly because, as I said before, if you encounter an unaccompanied minor or minors in general, you have to jump through a lot of hoops. It's different than just a 25-year-old man, you catch them. It's a very different situation. So the Border Patrol is kind of overwhelmed. It's certainly making it easy for anyone else who wants to sneak into the United States, as the Border Patrol is, in a word, very distracted. So I would say that it's a bad situation, and it's not likely to get better for quite some time. There are about 10 million minors or people under the age of 18 in Central America, so folks can keep coming for a long time unless they get the message that they're going to be turned back and we're going to send them back very quickly. People are going to keep coming, and that would require a different administration with a different approach. And actually, it would also be extremely helpful to reform certain misguided aspects of our law.
What would you recommend?
Oh, I think that, first off, any family unit that you catch at the border, you have to detain them and fly them back to their home country very quickly. If there's an adult present, the problems of what to do with an unaccompanied minor don't apply. In terms of the unaccompanied minors, you have to respect the law, but about all the protections that they have. But I still think we could detain a much larger fraction, particularly the older ones, because most of the unaccompanied ones are not 6 or 10. They're mostly people 16 and 17, and in fact 18, 19, 20, claiming to be under 18. I think we can detain some of those for a while, try to identify the country they're from, and send them back. Do not turn them over to any person in the United States who's here illegally, things like that. I think you could probably deter the things in the future, but changing how the law is interpreted or the actual law, that 2008 law that I mentioned about all those rights that an unaccompanied minor has and the right basically not to be detained and so forth, that's got to change. You're going to have to detain folks. Now, you have to do it in a humanitarian way. You have to respect people. You have to treat them professionally. But if we don't do that, this flow is going to continue for quite some time.
Who's fighting for us in Washington besides Senator Sessions and Representative King?
Yeah. In terms of the interests, say, of American workers on this issue, or in terms of sort of defending American sovereignty and so forth, you know, it's few and far between, unfortunately. Even someone like Raul
Labrador,
you know, the senator from Labrador from Idaho, you know, he has opposed certain aspects of the amnesty, but he very much wants to increase legal immigration, maybe even double it. His concerns have to do with how you implement an amnesty. So even someone like that who has been a thorn in the administration's side, it would be wrong to say that he's, you know, someone who sees the cost. Remember, I mentioned before, there are lots of people celebrating the benefits of immigration, and there clearly are benefits, and no one's talking about the cost or the Americans hurt. And I would have to say he's not someone who talks very much about the costs.
Well, and he's tried to propose the guest worker program, and Stephen, we've had you on before. We've had your colleague Mark on before about this. Could you expose the failed, flawed thinking of the guest worker program that we don't have enough smart people in America?
Well, both sides, right? I mean, there's guest workers. They want to bring in folks for unskilled workers. Basically, wage growth at the bottom end of the labor market in the United States is basically zero. In fact, real wages have generally declined for jobs like nannies, maids, busboys, construction labor, that sort of thing. We have an absolute record number of people with relatively little education not working. Now, we have over 25 million people in the United States who are native-born, have no education beyond high school, who are of working age, not working. So we have a kind of surplus of unskilled labor. So a guest worker program for unskilled jobs makes no sense. At the high end, let's look at STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. There, you can study the wages for the last 14 years. Wage growth is relatively flat there. They have experienced slight increases in wages, but nothing like you would expect if there was an actual shortage. In terms of putting out STEM workers, we graduate 2 to 3 times more STEM workers, or STEM degree holders, I should say, every year than there actually are STEM jobs. So, and the lack of wage growth is another indication that there's just no shortage of STEM workers in the United States. Now, if you wanted some very narrowly focused program for some very high-skilled people, okay, maybe that makes sense. But the idea that we just don't have enough programmers to work at Microsoft or scientists to do some research at universities, there is zero evidence for that. And that's just not me saying it. There is a plethora of research out there showing the same thing.
Well, what scares me, and not to go Pat Buchanan on you, but I will, it's the great betrayal of the American worker.
It does seem like that. The other big area where it has a lot of impact is that the new immigrants overwhelmingly tend to be Democrats. They tend to agree with the Democratic Party on issues like the size and scope of government. So one of the reasons the Democrats tend to put the interest of workers second when the issue of immigration comes up is just basically that it's so good for them politically in terms of shifting the national electorate towards voters who tend to want a more progressive agenda, whether it's question, you know, we do all this survey research on Asian and Hispanic
immigrants or even U.S.-born Asians and Hispanics, and very strongly they like Obamacare. They say they'd rather have a government that does more and spends more rather than a government that does less and spends less. And so what it's doing to the country is shifting the national electorate to the left. And look, people have a right to vote. They become citizens. That's the fair system. But you can't look away and say immigration isn't a boon for a progressive policy agenda. Clearly it is. And everybody who does research on it agrees with that. The only people in denial about that are some of the people who run the Republican Party.
Yeah, I was going to say everybody knows that they're going to vote for the Democrats. And you're a nonpartisan group, but it strikes me as funny that the dummy Republicans want this to happen because, again, these folks come from big government places where they don't have the rights that they have here in this country. Any dangers with the cartel in all this? The cartels and
it's probably making this crisis at the border right now is making it easier for drug smuggling and the cartel to get their people into the country, the Mexican drug cartels. But remember, they're very well established in the United States already, so it would be a mistake to somehow think this is a qualitative difference. Yeah, it makes things worse, but they were pretty bad to begin with.
Stephen Camerato, it's been a while, but we appreciate your time, and thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Stephen Camerato there at 580KIDO. We apologize for the phone problems, but we're working hard each and every day to give you the best guests, the best information accurately and fairly each and every morning. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, Dave Burnett with us, back from an extended holiday here at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Dave. Nice of you to join us.
Well, yep, had to be somewhere this morning, so I thought, why not here?
I see. Yep. So we had a little time off. Of course, you went up to McCall and had a good time. I stayed here, blah, blah, blah. And there we have it.
Yep, it was a nice break. Beautiful weather up. Actually, I was in Cascade. Spent some time in McCall. Did a little fishing up on the Little Pay River. It was a great time. Good. It was a nice break. Recharge the batteries. Ready to come back.
There we have it. It is. It's just interesting. You know, it's funny, and I want to caution everybody who is doing this as we're talking. Doing a radio show, never read your emails because, you know, it's so disrespectful to the audience. It's kind of funny. I was working on this past project, and now it's a great emergency. It's something that you and I have been talking about for quite some time here at 580KIDO. And I was sitting here thinking about something, and I'm doing a disservice to the audience and to you because I'm just checking out an email, and it's something that I had taken care of and thought I had taken care of, and I'd followed instructions. But then they'd go, well, no, you need to do this. You need to do that. Oh, my goodness gracious. Anyway, I digress. I was vilified over the weekend, Dave Burnett. I was vilified. And you being the arbiter of truth, you being the person that really doesn't mind correcting me, I have something for you.
All right.
I have something for you as we roll along here at 580KIDO. Number one, we have the issue involving the fireworks. And I moved to Star, home of Governor Otter. Home of Russ Smurfs, home of Jim and Star's father-in-law. So I'm out there enjoying my first 4th of July in Star. And lo and behold, I couldn't believe that I moved to Beirut circa 1983, Dave Burnett.
A lot of fireworks out there, were there?
I couldn't believe the amount of fireworks that were, and I have to be careful because one of the young ladies actually listens this early in the program, so I have to be very careful. You know, in other places, you can sit there and talk smack about people because it's, you know, big town, big city, and chances are they don't listen. You'd like them to, but I have unfortunately found out that more times than not when I talk about people, they hear about it or they actually listen. So I have to be careful of the growing influence of this audience.
Okay.
So I'm out there, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 I've got dueling fireworks displays.
Nice.
And I posted something on Facebook about this, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, what is – actually, I'll read what I wrote you on Facebook first. I said, you know, please leave the fireworks to the professionals. You know, I understand that Big Jack's Fireworks loves it when you buy things, but isn't that why we have shows in Star and Meridian and Boise, to let the professionals do it? What is the appeal of turning your neighborhood into the Shiites versus the Sunnis?
I think it's that fire thing. You know, it's that whole 12-year-old boy fire thing that exists within most men.
Right.
I think that's it. You know, they get a chance, and yes, they can sign that they're not going to use them in the state of Idaho, and then they lie, and they use them.
Right.
But it's just, that's what gets into people and infects them, I guess.
Apparently so. So we have that going on.
Did your house burn down?
I was out there patrolling, because I couldn't believe it. In fact, gratuitous plug here, if you go to the Kevin Miller Facebook, gee, there's only 2,700 Kevin Millers on Facebook. But I posted it, and then I posted one of, you know, the big shooting stars. They actually had not one, but several of these things going over homes in my neighborhood. And I said, someone stop the madness. Now, you would think that the voice of reason, the voice of calmness, the voice of order, I would be reinforced by a lot of like comments on Facebook, wouldn't you?
You weren't.
Oh, led by that troublemaker, Pat from Middleton. Kevin, you need to, fireworks are America. They started attacking, they pulled a Phil Hardy on me, attacking my patriotism.
Wow. Huh.
For just simply saying, look, I get it, it's wonderful. And they, you know, the kids are shooting things off. I had dueling fireworks displays on the end of the street. Then I'm thinking to myself, okay. And then I'm looking over people's homes, it's blowing up. And then I'm reacting to the people on Facebook. I go, no, I'm not ripping fireworks. But why do cities have them if we're going to have a bunch of people running around like crazy doing these things? I mean, in reality, why?
I forgot. Did your house burn down?
No, it didn't burn down.
Oh, thank goodness. Safe again, because it didn't last year either.
Well, it was a different house, different neighborhood.
It's probably gone now.
Yeah, if I didn't physically, you know, burn it down. So we have that going on, and, you know, I'm just sitting there, and people are ripping my patriotism for not liking fireworks, and I'm thinking, you know, when is the appropriate time to stop shooting off fireworks on the 4th day, Burnett?
When the Ada County Sheriff drives around and says, knock it off.
Okay, they didn't stop till 1:45.
Wow, that is a bit late. I will give this now. I won't mock you. That gets a little irritating.
1:45, and again, we're talking about... just crazy stuff with this.
The Whistling Pete's.
Yeah, Whistling Pete's and so-called Sammy's and everything else.
Yeah. Happy 4th of July. But the problem is most people don't even know either. They don't know why they're out celebrating.
Right. I just love it when they started smacking me.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Taking it to Facebook and getting hit.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Well, you know, Kevin Miller, I'll gladly put up with fireworks to celebrate our nation's freedom. I'm going, look, I'm telling you, we're not having the reading of the Declaration of Independence in my neighborhood. I wish that that were the case, but it's just not happening. It's, woo, I got this one from Firejacker Jim.
But think of the economy. You know, we were talking about this because at Cascade Lake, they always, all along, you know, you have Donnelly has their fireworks, McCall has theirs, Cascade has theirs. And then all along the docks, people are shooting off the illegals. And I said to my wife, I wonder how many millions of dollars of fireworks go up on a 4th of July all across the country. I mean, are we talking billions? How much? There's a lot of money in fireworks that go up.
A lot of money.
And then on the 5th, there's one guy in Cascade, he's got this great big water plane. I mean, we're not talking, you know, little seaplane. It's a big Howard Hughes-type water plane that he lands and parks, and then he puts off his own show that would put most towns to shame off his dock.
So he has this big plane.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He flies that into Cascade Lake and lands it. And then on the 5th, he didn't want to compete on the 4th. He did his on the 5th, and I'll tell you what, I'm serious. I mean, the Boise Hawks, Meridian Speedway, they'd love to have those fireworks displays that he puts on.
Hmm.
Serious cash going there.
You know, like I said, I think we kind of lose that a little.
We lose it.
Yeah, we do lose it a little. When we're talking about the fireworks as opposed to the 4th of July, as opposed to Independence Day. You know, I have a lot of people, it's not 4th of July, it's Independence. Okay, Timmy, I get it.
Timmy's adamant about it, isn't he?
I just sit there and go, man.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, for those of you keeping track at home, you know, Dave Burnett, we usually have a post-show meeting. I'm going to have to cancel that today.
Yeah?
I have to get my bathtub fixed.
Hmm. How'd you break that?
I stepped in and I got a crack in it.
Whoa.
Now, I love buying a house, and I don't even really say buying a house. I always say, how should I put this? You know, when they say, do you own your home? Well, the bank does. I'm leasing, I'm a lease to own from the bank or whatever you call that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've got to, so people, you know, that's a sure sign that you need to lose weight.
If you crack your bathtub?
Crack your bathtub.
Yeah. That's not good.
So if it's all right with you, I've got to, because the bathtub lady goes, look, I'm a busy person. I go, apparently you are. You're in demand.
So are they tearing the old one out, putting a new one in?
Oh, no. They're just going to put some duct tape on it.
Oh, that's good. You could have done that yourself.
I hope it doesn't leak.
Oh.
And this is professional duct tape, man. This is good stuff. This is quality.
We'll find out.
Now, I have another question for you here at 580KIDO.
All right, I'm ready.
You're a big fan of Big Brother. Are you watching it this season?
I have been, yes.
Okay. Did you watch it last night?
I did, actually.
Okay. Now,
spoiler alert for anyone who DVR'd it.
No. I'm not going to give anything away. Because you're always on me about that. Mm-hmm. Going, we live in the now. The hip, the now. You DVR your yesterday's news. Because we're happening. So anyway, here at 580KIDO, did you see the point where you have the guy that kind of looks like a young Dr. Will who wears the Florida Gators shirt?
Yes.
All right. Now, he's hanging out with this guy that apparently is gay.
Yes.
And last year on Big Brother, of course, they had a meltdown where people were yelling racial stuff. I don't know if they were yelling anti-gay stuff. I guess they were. Anti-gay, anti-race, all these things. And it was really an embarrassment to the politically correct CBS network, the Tiffany network. So this year, if you notice, everybody is friendly. They're non-combative. They're non-controversial. So
there's just some dumb ones in there.
Right. So yeah.
Which
like
the would guy, be, that's offensive to somebody.
The guy that looks like The Rock, but.
Yeah. Just not very smart.
So anyway, I'm sitting there watching it last night, and I thought of you as these two guys are having a bromance.
Yeah.
Because I think of you often.
Thanks.
So I'm sitting there watching this guy who says he's straight, saying that he really loves the gay guy.
He's cuddling with him, spooning with him.
Spooning with him. They're hugging each other. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, how many straight people would do that? And if you're the gay guy, isn't he just leading him on?
Well, my thought as I watched it was the guy's gay and either isn't admitting it or doesn't know it yet.
Now, wait a minute. Hopefully that's okay to laugh in this politically correct world.
Probably how not. Hoping Andy are looking for work.
Yes, 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 the power of social media. However, here at 580KIDO, because we're laughing with you, not at you, how does that work?
I don't have an answer for you on that, Kev. I saw that last night, and I just shook my head. I didn't have an answer.
No, I'm talking about how do you know if you're gay and you don't know it? How
well,
does that work?
I don't, you know, the guy, he either is gay or doesn't know he's gay yet. One or the other, I mean, he's spooning with the guy on TV saying, I like doing this. I'm just watching it thinking, I don't think I'd be comfortable doing that.
Yeah, and maybe we're just not as developed as other people.
It could be. We have primitive brains. I don't know.
I sat there and I'm watching it going, yeesh.
Which I thought, you know, I thought, okay, that's fine if that's who you are. But then he's on the air going, no, I'm straight.
Right.
Well, kind of, maybe not. Yeah, it was different.
Right.
I think
right.
There's more to come on that chapter of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, what else is your review of Big Brother? We've got Crazy Donnie that is the janitor from North Carolina.
Yeah, which everyone thought he was some sort of super secret soldier, but he's just a simpleton.
Yeah.
He's just a nice simpleton.
I don't know. I really miss the old days of the original Big Brother when they would have people with, normal looking people.
Well, yeah, they used to put a mix in of older people, younger people, different walks of life people. Now they're all just kind of, you know, they're all Katy Perry followers.
Right.
That's all you got. So it kind of, like you said, but they've taken the mix out of it to where nobody's saying anything controversial. They just have people who are a little short on smarts.
Indeed. Indeed. Speaking of which, have you heard of Frederica Whitfield and Joan Rivers over the weekend?
No.
That's right. You actually.
I was kind of out of the loop.
You got away from it all. So Joan Rivers is doing this interview with Frederica Whitfield on CNN. And Frederica Whitfield says, okay, Joan, you're wearing fur. And Joan Rivers flips out, says that Frederica Whitfield, one of the nicest people, and was just kind of smiling and stuff, ripped her, ripped everybody, and said, you know, I'm done, walked off the stage, left her microphone on, and started swearing profanities at Frederica Whitfield, all for saying, hey, you know, a lot of people might be offended that you're wearing fur.
Hmm, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's kind of okay. I mean, Joan Rivers is 80-something or 90-something. Despite all the work, she looks very good for her age, I guess you could say. I mean, she's, I mean, look, despite any, you know, marketing skills, she seems to be doing quite well.
Well, she does, and she and her daughter both are doing well, and she actually still looks pretty good, too.
Yeah, I mean, but to walk off the set and blah, 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 I don't know. It's just kind of interesting to me.
Hmm. I'll have to check for that on YouTube.
Oh, because it's all about YouTube.
It is. That it is.
You know, well, your
phone's
ringing.
My hotline is ringing, so let's do this. Your traffic now, Kevin, is your...
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And it is 5:58 coming up next. We'll talk to David Ripley about the Hobby Lobby decision. And no, I will try and get through the segment without calling it a Holly Hobby. I mean, Hobby Lobby, Holly Hobby, right? I probably mispronounced it again. Anyway, that's why we appreciate you being with us here each and every morning on your with your intellectually challenged host, Kay Milley. Coming up, we'll take a look at that. Also, our friend Dave Pezzo will be with us. And it is the dead doldrum days of summer, but nationally, just this big crisis on the border that continues. This issue involving what to do next, all heck breaking loose. First traffic at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dave.